It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
It's the happy hour on the Guy Benson Show. Thank you for tuning in. Appreciate it every day. GuyBensonShow.com, our website, the podcast. It's the whole show on demand, totally free every day. Is at that website, GuyBensonShow.com, or at FoxNewsPodcasts.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. This hour is sponsored by the Finnish Long Drink. I did indulge in one or two this weekend, as a matter of fact. Why not? The weather was gorgeous. I did drink responsibly, which we encourage you to do. 21 plus only, I fit that bill as well. TheLongDrink.com, TheLongDrink.com for more. Joining us now, Andy McCarthy, Fox News contributor, former federal prosecutor, best-selling author. Andy, good to have you back.
Guy, great to be with you, always.
I want to get into politics in just a second and some of the legal analysis that we love to elicit from you. Before we do that, though, I was talking to Juan Williams last hour. You are also a huge baseball fan. Just your quick initial impressions of the Ohtani scandal, which seems to be brewing. Have we heard the last of this? Are you buying anything close to what the official story is at this point?
I'm not buying the official story, but that's sort of how I'm wired. And I guess the one thing I'd say, Guy, is $4.5 million is a lot of money for this guy because he's very clever. The contract, I think, is like $700 million, but he arranged it so he only gets paid $2 million a year, and the idea is then California won't be able to get its pounds and pounds of flesh because he'll be back in Japan by the time he gets the lion's share of it. So he's obviously, you know, pretty careful with money, and I don't think he'd be too cavalier about $4.5 million.
I tend to agree with you. So if people are like, what is Guy talking about? Why is he asking Juan and Andy about this? It is a massive story in sports leading up to the new baseball season involving what appears to be a gambling scandal surrounding in the neighborhood of and probably directly tied to one of the biggest stars in the game. So I just want to get Andy's take on it. With that, Andy, a couple different things to talk about here today. Number one, there's been a big change in that New York judgment, the civil judgment against Donald Trump. Initially, the judge had given just an eye-popping $454 million bond against Trump, which Trump was going to be apparently unable to meet in order to move forward with an appeal. Now a 5-judge panel in New York has reduced that amount substantially to still a very high number, $175 million, but that's still way, way less than $450 plus million. What's the significance of this?
Oh, it's highly significant. It's actually, Guy, he probably would otherwise have had to post a bond of more like $550 million. Because the $454 million judgment, which is actually it's works out to about $355 million with interest running from, I can't remember if the judge made it to 2017 or 2019, but that's how you get to $454. And that interest is accruing every day at $112,000 plus per day. So he would have had to post a $550 million bond to stay enforcement of the judgment while he appeals. And that's why I think they arrived at the number 175. I think that's about a third of what he would otherwise have had to post. It's very significant. I wouldn't read too much into it in terms of whether it suggests that the appellate court has looked at the merits of the case and thinks that the judgment is completely disproportionate. I think they'll ultimately draw that conclusion. But I think just in terms of what was needed to post in the way of stopping enforcement while he appeals, as you just pointed out, this is still an extraordinary amount of money, $175 million. And the other thing is Trump's assets are mostly real estate, and a lot of it is in New York. So it's not like it was going to be going anyplace. And, you know, the idea that Tish James had to start seizing stuff now because maybe Trump would be judgment-proof if she didn't get on with it, I think is just silly. I mean, he's got tons of real estate in
New York. It's also just obviously resistance theater. That's what this is.
Yep.
That's the whole
yep.
point of it. I'm not a reflexive Trump defender. You and I have talked about some of the charges against him. I think some of them are more serious than others. The Mar-a-Lago documents obstruction case comes to mind. Yes, you've got the mitigating circumstances of Biden not getting charged or prosecuted on a similar front. The Hillary Clinton example, I think, is even more apt. We've talked about that as well. Just the facts of the case in isolation for Trump, I think, are very bad for him. In this case, the civil case in New York, it looks completely political because Letitia James campaigned on a platform of "I'm going to get Trump." Blue voters in New York love that. She then proceeded to get elected and to go about and set about trying to get Trump. And the way that she's done so in this case is to allege this scheme that has no victim, right? The supposed victims in this, in the fraud that Trump has been found liable for, or his corporation, his company has been found liable for, the victims, quote unquote, all said, no, we weren't victimized. We like doing business with him. We would do business with him again. There was no quote unquote crime. I know it's a civil case, but the victim, the crime, it just wasn't there. But they used the law anyway to bury Trump and then this massive judgment from the judge. The whole thing stinks to high heaven. So you've got that as point one. Point two, James, the attorney general, has been taunting Trump on social media about the interest that he owes every single day. She occasionally does that publicly, which again looks highly improper and totally political. And then you have the president of the United States, who usually tries to at least pretend like he's floating above all of this stuff. Oh, well, he's just president. Whatever happens to Trump from the Justice Department or other Democrats, he has nothing to do with it. You've got Biden reportedly cracking jokes at Trump's expense on this exact front at a fundraiser a few days ago. I said on TV yesterday, I think all of that is an extra bad look.
Yeah, I think they're overplaying their hand a great deal. I think had James started to try to seize some of his property, I think people would have, that would have been an important moment in terms of what people think of this whole lawfare campaign. I think a lot of what we discuss, Guy, is kind of abstract. We talk about like allegations and complaints and in indictments. It becomes very real if they show up to seize your stuff. And I think, you know, people would have felt very differently about it.
Well, especially because, to jump in, Andy, I recall when this judgment came down, the Associated Press, to their credit, did a whole investigation where they went back through the records, through the decades, and said, we have never seen this law used or applied this way. So it was a novel and unprecedented application of the law where the quote-unquote victims of the fraud said we weren't victimized, and yet this is the outcome that they sought and achieved in a place like New York against Trump.
Yeah, well, this is why I think you were right to mention the crime, about like how the punishment doesn't fit the crime, because crime is important in this context, even though it's civil, because we need to remember that this case started as a federal investigation in my old office, the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Southern District of New York in Manhattan. They turned up their nose at it. Ben Bragg's successor as Manhattan District Attorney, Cyrus Vance, spent a long time trying to make this case against Trump. Both he and Bragg looked at it and decided not to bring it, that there wasn't a good enough criminal case.
Right, so the feds and the locals said, we cannot prosecute a crime.
Correct.
Based on these facts.
Right. And then she comes with this monstrous statute, which never has been applied in this context. It's a consumer protection statute that doesn't have any place when you're talking about big bucks transactions between with sophisticated financial actors on both sides of the transaction who do their own due diligence. It's
right.
Just, you know, it's apples and oranges.
So $175 million is the new reduced amount of money that Trump has to post for this bond to allow the whole process to move forward with the appeal. That's still, as you said, an extraordinary sum, but much less than it would have been. It kind of feels like a climb down, frankly. It kind of feels like something of a PR, at least, victory for him, and also a substantive victory because this will be a more attainable number. I almost wonder, for political reasons, would it have, everything is so weird and upside down, Andy, would it have benefited Trump for Letitia James to try to march in with a warrant or something and take the deed to Trump properties in New York? Like, just a totally undeniable black and white example of authority and power run amok. I almost wonder if Trump would have invited those kinds of optics.
Yeah, I think it's hard for you and me to say that, Guy, because it would have certainly helped him politically. But, you know, let's say he doesn't become president, which there's a very good chance he won't, right? He's doing well in the polls, but, you know, he could. I still think Joe Biden's the favorite in the election.
Yeah.
And in the end,
it's at least a toss-up.
Well, yeah, but my point is that, like, you know, there's a lot more going on here than politics
of
for
course,
him. This is, like, existential for him. And if she starts taking his stuff, whether he ever gets it back is a big question.
Totally fair point. And then there's the criminal side of everything. A development on that front. We'll get to it with Andy McCarthy right after this break. Don't go anywhere.
Same issues, but with a fresh perspective. The Guy Benson Show.
Andy McCarthy, our guest here on The Guy Benson Show. We're talking about a lot of this legal drama surrounding Donald Trump. You've written a piece at National Review within this broader context entitled Trump's Race Against the Clock. Talk about what that looks like.
Well, I think he lost a big round of it today. He did win on the civil side because, as we've been discussing, he's got a much more doable bond obligation now to process his appeal on the civil side. But on the criminal side, as I think all the tea leaves suggested, Judge Juan Merchan, who is presiding over Alvin Bragg's criminal case, the hush money case against Trump, denied Trump's motion to dismiss the indictment on an alleged discovery violation, and also denied his application to postpone the trial for 90 days. So that case is starting 3 weeks from today, Guy, on it's starting trial with commencement of jury selection on April 15th.
And this is the New York City Alvin Bragg case, which, and stop me if this sounds familiar, this is also a novel legal theory where Bragg is taking alleged federal crimes over which he doesn't have jurisdiction and using this weird bank shot into making it a whole series of dozens of New York crimes involving campaign finance violations, like, oh, they paid hush money to the porn star, and those should have counted as expenses for the campaign, and they didn't disclose that, so it's a crime, and we're going to make it a crime in Manhattan somehow. This is the case we're talking about, which has been pretty well flagged by a lot of people across the spectrum as legally quite weak, right? It's been pilloried not just by conservatives. This is the case we're talking about that's moving forward next month?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And unfortunately, I think the fact that it's weak doesn't necessarily mean that Trump will beat the case, particularly in Manhattan, because I think the weaknesses here, Guy, I've tried to like sort of play out what the trial looks like. And what we talk about in terms of why it's weak are really legal arguments that go to whether there should be a prosecution in the first place on this legal theory. I don't think the case is going to look that way to a jury. So, the thing that's happened here is Bragg has taken what should be a misdemeanor at most, falsification of business records transaction, and carved it into 34 felony counts, which are going to be presented to the jury as falsifications of business records that Trump did in order to conceal another crime, which Bragg actually is – it's really his big objective here, a campaign finance crime on the theory that the hush money payment was a federal campaign finance or campaign donation that had to be booked and disclosed. I think he's completely wrong about that, and that's why the two federal agencies that have jurisdiction over campaign finance, the Justice Department and the Federal Election Commission, both looked at this and decided not to pursue Trump.
But right, which is also, that's a callback to what we were just talking about with Letitia James. You had two different entities who could have brought criminal charges against Trump in that case and said, no, the facts don't support this. So they passed, and instead we got this cockamamie lawsuit from Letitia James. Same thing here, where you have the actual binding authorities on the federal level looking at the same facts saying there's not a crime we're going to prosecute. Then Alvin Bragg comes rushing in a deep blue city as someone who derives some of his political support from being anti-Trump. He says, well, I'm going to turn it into a crime somehow in this city. It feels like this is whatever you think of Trump, Andy, this is not how the justice system ought to work. And if Donald Trump's last name were Smith and he weren't running for president and he weren't this big politically polarizing figure, there is a 0% chance either of these avenues were pursued in New York, right? I mean, that's undeniable.
That's exactly right. And you know, the thing I think is really pernicious about this guy, well, there's a lot pernicious about it, but what I'm thinking of in particular is that the federal government agencies that look at this and that have jurisdiction over campaign finance matters have standards that they've developed over the years, which guide them in terms of like what cases do we prosecute, where do we settle with a civil fine instead of prosecuting, and that sort of thing. Bragg is basically not only taking their job away from them after they've decided not to pursue it, but he's also kind of making up his own standards as he goes along. And what I would suggest to people is, what do you think Alvin Bragg and the media and the Democrats would have said if Trump had paid Stormy Daniels, the porn star at the center of all this, with campaign funds? What if he had taken campaign money and paid the hush money out of that? They'd be screaming for a different reason. And yet Bragg's theory here is that paying Stormy Daniels was a campaign expense.
Right, a secret one that wasn't then reported properly. Andy, last question. We only have about a minute left. Trump, in his press conference today, cited you. He did it on social media as well. He likes a piece that you wrote about Alvin Bragg. You're accusing Bragg of falsifying business records charges. If you would just quickly summarize the nut of that point and why you think Trump is highlighting it.
Yeah, I think it's exactly what we've been discussing, Guy, which is Bragg is telling people he's doing a business records falsification case, but in point of fact, he's actually trying to enforce federal law that he doesn't have jurisdiction over without saying so. So the business records is kind of his screen for doing that. And I just think it's ironic since he's accusing Trump of falsifying what his business records said in terms of reflecting that. You know, that what Bragg says is a campaign donation, but what was actually a legal non-disclosure agreement.
At the transaction with Daniels.
Right.
Yeah. And so it's like its own form of falsification. And if people are curious to read more, since Trump is talking about Andy's work and we have him here on the show, you can look at nationalreview.com. The latest pieces are called Trump's Race Against the Clock and Bragg Falsifies Business Records Charges Against Trump, both by our guest, Andy McCarthy, former federal prosecutor, Fox News contributor. Andy, we so appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Guy.
The Guy Benson Show, happy hour, returns after this break.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow Podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.